Welcome to The Apple Seed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today we're bringing you stories in the form of songs, telling stories of heroism and adventure and romance through songs is a tradition as old as storytelling itself. The rhyme and rhythm and melody of a song makes a story easy to pass along. And that's how some of the great stories of the world and even the news of the day got passed from town to town, land to land, storyteller to storyteller. And there's a name for the kind of song that tells stories like that. We call them ballads. And first up today, one of the most famous ballads in the English language. It's called Barbara Allen, a beautiful and sad tale of love and death. The ballad will be sung for you by Josh Goforth, musician and storyteller from North Carolina. Josh grew up in the mountains and learned a lot of these old ballads in the way people have been learning them for generations and generations. He'll tell you more. Here's Josh Goforth on the Apple Seed.
Well, one of the greatest things about growing up in Madison County was getting to hear the ballad singers. Now, a ballad is a story song, and these songs, they come from, as my people would say, across the big pond, from the old country. Now, if you were wanting to learn one of these songs, you would sit knee to knee with someone, and you would face them, and they would sing one verse of the ballad, and you would sing that verse back. They'd sing the second verse, and you'd have to sing both verses. They'd sing the third, you'd have to sing all three. And if you were doing a song like Lord Bateman, they were singing one verse, and by the end, you were singing 96 verses. These were epics. They were about love and war, historic events, hate, revenge, murder. They were kind of like the TV of their day. And these are hundreds of years old, and I thought it'd be great to sing you one that I learned from some of the ballad singers from over there in that Laurel section of Madison County in a little community called Sodom. And that is the name of the community. There ain't no Gomorrah, just a Sodom. And this is a particular ballad I learned verses from several singers. One was Dellie Norton. Now, Dellie was one of the most famous of the ballad singers. She was a medicine woman, and she would love to go out in the woods, and she would collect roots, and she would make teas and tonics and all kinds of stuff. And one of the doctors that first moved into Madison County, she went to see Dellie because she wanted to learn some of those remedies. And she said, "Well, Dellie, what do you do if somebody's just got general pain?" Dellie said, "Oh, that's easy. Well, you just take a little willow bark and you boil that down, and honey, that'll cure it right up." They said, "Well, what do you do for somebody like blood pressure, you know, something like blood pressure problems?" "Oh, that's easy. You go out and you dig some of that heart root and you chop it up real fine, you boil that down in the tea, and honey, that'll clear it right up." And she said, "Well, what do you do for like a common cold?" And she said, "Oh, that's the easiest of all, Alka-Seltzer." So she had totally assimilated the mountain and the Western doctor stuff. I also learned some verses from Kaz Wallen. Kaz said that the way he learned to sing ballads and the way he practiced them was he would sing up into a holler. And if he could hear his voice vibrating back and hear it echoing real good, he knew he was singing the ballad with that kind of intensity that it required. See, because you sing these without accompaniment, or as we say back home, acapulco. I also sing a couple of verses from a lady named Inez Chandler. Now, Inez was a woman who didn't have a filter between her brain and her mouth, and I bet you know somebody like that. My good buddy David Holt, who I got to perform with for 20 years, he told me that she used to get words real wrong. You'd go over to her house, and she might offer you a cup of coffee, and she'd say, "Honey, you want a cup of coffee? All I got's that old decapitated kind." Or one of my favorites that David told me, he said that one time he went over to her house, and he said that they was all sitting around, and she said, "Yeah, I went to the doctor the other day, and he told me I was going to have to go on a diet. He said I was going to have to become a veterinarian." Said, "A veterinarian?" Said, "Yeah, a veterinarian. That's where you get all vegetables and stay hydraulic." Well, a couple weeks later, they went back to Inez's house, and David said, well, how did that diet going? You know, how's it going? She said, oh, honey, I can't be a veterinarian. I'm a full-born carnival. So she was quite a character. And the ballad that I like to sing for you is one of the most famous of all the ballads, and I think one of the most beautiful. This is one that you probably have heard, and you may even have sung some verses in school when you were little. But this is the version that I learned in Madison County. It's called Barbara Allen. And this is sung in the old style like you'd hear on those porches where I grew up. Beautiful story. In Scarlet Town, where I was born, there lived a fair maid dwelling, made every youth cry well-a-day. And her name was Barbary Allen. 'Twas in the merry month of May, when all the flowers were a-blooming, sweet William on his deathbed lay, for the want of Barbary Allen. He called his servant to his side, said, go and quickly find her. He said, go unto the town, my friend. Find the one named Barbary Allen. Well, he searched high and he searched low. When in the town he found her, he said, fly with me, my pretty fair miss. If your name be Barbary Allen. So slowly she got up, and slowly she drew nigh him, and all she said at his bedside was, young man, I think you're a-dying. Don't you recall last Saturday night when we's all at the tavern? You gave a toast to the ladies all, but you slighted Barbary Allen. Yes, I recall last Saturday night when we's all at the tavern. I gave a toast to the ladies all, but I gave my heart to Barbary Allen. Oh, take it back, I'll have it not, for you have treated me so sorely. Next Saturday night at the tavern, my friend, I'll treat you just as poorly. Well, he turned his head unto the wall, and with a breath and a sighing, that night sweet William drew his last, for the want of Barbary Allen. Well, she was riding all through the town when she heard the death bells tolling, and with every ring they seemed to say, hard-hearted Barbary Allen. Go, mother, oh, mother, please make my bed. Go make it long and narrow. Last night, sweet William died for me. The same I'll do for him tomorrow. Well, the very next morn, they found her there. It's as if she was a-sleeping, and in her hand she held one note. Said, mother, I'm done with my grieving. They buried sweet William in the old churchyard, and Barbary they laid nigh him, and out in his grave grew a blood-red rose, and out in hers grew a briar. They grew and grew to the churchyard gate, till they could grow no higher, and they wrapped themselves in a true lover's knot, with a rose wrapped round the briar.
That was Josh Goforth with the ballad Barbara Allen. You know, I love stories that come inside songs. When I was a kid, my dad came home one day from the lumber yard with the family car packed with big boards, some paper bags full of nails and screws, tubes of wood glue. And that was always exciting when the car came home filled with stuff like that. We wondered what that assortment of stuff would turn out to be. Well, that day, we little kids watched over Dad's shoulder as he spread those things out in a yard and began to work. We even helped out a little bit, or thought we did. I mean, he had us fetch nails or hold the end of a tape measure or squirt a little glue somewhere. And over the course of the day, what took shape was an enormous bookshelf, as big as our living room wall. And it had lots of spaces for books, but also some important-looking spaces that didn't seem very book-shaped. The bookshelf was loaded carefully into the house, and into those important non-book-shaped spaces were loaded the speakers, the amplifier, and the record player that would fill our home with music throughout my childhood. One of my favorite records was by a band made up of a trio of pals, all with names that started with the letter D. The Three D's, they called themselves. And they had set some of the great poetry of the world to music. It's on that record that I first heard. It was many and many a year ago in a kingdom by the sea that a maiden there lived whom you may know by the name of Annabel Lee. That spooky, tragic poem by Edgar Allan Poe. It was on that record that I first heard the words, "The wind was a torrent of darkness among the gusty trees. The moon was a ghostly galleon tossed upon cloudy seas. The road was a ribbon of moonlight over the purple moor. And the highwayman came riding, riding, riding. The highwayman came riding up to the old inn door." That epic poem by Alfred Noyes, later parodied in, I think, a Daffy Duck cartoon. It was on that album that I first heard, "'Twas brillig and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves and the mome raths outgrabe." Lewis Carroll's Jabberwocky. Well, when I met all those poets and authors later on in junior high and high school, when I'd study their work more seriously and find my way into that poetry in a way that would stir my soul for the rest of my life, I was glad I had already found the doorway to those great works as a little kid, listening to records on that big record player on that enormous bookshelf. I'm thankful to my dad for making that record player such an important fixture in our living room, and in that way, making great ballads, great poems, and great stories an important fixture in my life. And that's where Josh's ballad and his experiences took me. Where did they take you? And who will you take along? And how about one more story in song today, one more ballad? This one is an old story, but it's a new song. The story is the epic tale of the American folk hero John Henry, the steel-driving rail worker who died with a hammer in his hand. The song is written and performed by the great Philadelphia storyteller Charlotte Blake Alston, and it's partly spoken in rhythm and partly sung, and she keeps rhythm with a cool little metal percussion instrument that she holds in her hand and clicks as she sings and speaks. You know, there are other famous sung versions of the John Henry story. We think you're going to love this one. Here's Charlotte Blake Alston with Hammers of Steel, the Ballad of John Henry.
So this is a story of one of America's folk heroes. And what's unique about him and why I chose to speak this story as a spoken ballad is because he is the only folk hero who is of African descent. So this is the story of John Henry. There are lots of ballads sung about John Henry. If you don't know John, you're not familiar with that story. Of course, in the early days of America, the infrastructure was created with physical strength, with men's actual manual labor. And that included when they made the decision to run a railroad from the West Coast to the East Coast, it was men who laid the track through all kinds of terrain, including going through mountains. And so they would have men who had these long steel spikes that they would hold up against the rock. Men like John Henry had a 5, 10, 15-pound steel hammer who would hit the end of that steel spike, drive it into the mountain. They would hit it until it went in deep enough, and this would be several of them, deep enough so that the powder men could put dynamite sticks into that indentation, into those holes, and blast that part of the rock, cart it away, and they'd start that process all over again until they had literally hammered their way through the rock. So, of course, a man came along who invented a steam drill, said this steam drill can replace the men, can replace the manual labor. John Henry stepped up and said, if you're going to use a steam drill, you're going to put men out of work. I'm going to prove to you that a man is worth more than a machine, and he races the machine. So this is my spoken ballad of John Henry. Hammers of steel rang out. Now that's your part. Hammers of steel rang out. 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 He was born in Missouri in the 1840s. Others say that Alabama was the place. Some say he wasn't nothing but a Louisiana man or the one North Carolinians embrace. Legend says that he was born with a hammer in his hand. That's the way the story goes. I can't imagine how his mama endured that pain, so I'll spare you the birthing woes. They say the frogs stopped frogging and the crickets stopped cricking and the mighty winds quieted down. All of nature was a-watching and a-waiting and a-listening for that itty-bitty baby sound. And as soon as baby John drew his first breath, the mighty rivers roared. Baby John jumped down, started crawling around, banging his hammer on the cabin floor. Yes, he did. Hammers of steel rang out. 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 Well, Lord have mercy, his mama cried. Now, I'm not one to complain, but I want you to know that it feels like I just gave birth to a full-grown man. Well, he wasn't quite a man, but he certainly grew to be a big, tall, strapping boy. And plowing, planting, hauling, lifting was the kind of work he enjoyed. Legend says one day as an itty-bitty boy when he was sitting on his daddy's knee, he pointed his finger at a great piece of steel and said, that steel gonna be the death of me. Well, he soon grew bored with farm-type work. He had an itching to travel the land. So he went to find work that would make better use of the strength that he had in his hands. And yes, he did. Hammers of steel rang out. 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 Well, he got a job working on a river boat, and that suited his fancy just fine. And soon his story was being told all up and down the riverboat line. For one dark night, one stormy night, the riverboat paddle wheel broke. We're taking on water, the captain cried. We got to bail to stay afloat. Well, young John Henry jumped on the deck, eased across a wooden plank. And before you could say, great God from Zion, he jumped down onto the paddle wheel crank. Well, he pushed, pulled, moaned and groaned, and the paddle wheel started to turn. John Henry pushed that riverboat back into port by the crack of dawn. And yes, he did. Hammers of steel rang out. 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 Well, after spending some time on a river boat, he was yearning for a bigger test. He heard men talking about railroad tracks being laid from the east to the west. They're laying track across prairies, rivers, plains, gonna blast through the mountain's core. John Henry got excited, thought to himself, this is the challenge I've been waiting for. They needed men of strength to wield 10-pound hammers to drive those steel spikes through, so the powder men could put in the dynamite, blast it, and cart away the residue. Well, they reached the mountain, and that was the place where Big John's true test began. But all he was thinking was, it feels so good to have a hammer in my hands again. And yes, he did. Hammers of steel rang out. Huh. 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 Well, the men start singing and the hammers start swinging, and they swung those hammers all day. Each crew worked hard and fast as they could, but John Steele gang led the way. Nobody'd ever seen such a man like John. He did the job of 10 strong men. And from the owner to the foreman to the water boy, everybody was in awe of him. But one day, a man showed up, told the boss, I could save you time. This brand new steam joe could do the work of all the hammers on the steel gang line. Well, John spoke up, I don't know about that. These are good, hard-working men. They've laid track for you all across this land, and they'll be loyal until the end. No matter how hard-working they might be, there's no man who could beat a machine. And I dare anybody to challenge the thought that he could beat a drill powered by steam. See, this here man didn't know John Henry, hadn't heard about the paddle boat wheel. And there was nobody better than Big John Henry at swinging those hammers of steel. So John said, I'll take the test, for all these men have worked hard all across this land. Because before I let my steel gang down, I'll die with a hammer in my hand. Yes, he did. Hammers of steel rang out. Huh. Hammers of steel rang out. Huh. Hammers of steel rang out. Huh. Hammers of steel rang out. Well, the stage was set. The Big Bend Tunnel was the site of the big showdown. One look in John's eye and you knew he was not gonna let his steel gang down. Come on, little Bill, grab them steel spikes. You and me's got work to do. Bill shook John's hand and said, there's nobody that I'd rather do this with than you. It was on John's back that the jobs of all these hard-working men would ride. So he calmed himself and prepared to hammer into the belly of the mountainside. Little Bill grabbed one of the handheld spikes and placed it against the rock. John Henry picked up a 10-pound maul and prepared to race the clock. The men stepped back to watch. There was so much tension in the air. You could cut that thickness with a knife and still have more than your share. Well, they got into position, side by side, the steam drill and the man. Bill heaved a sigh, tightened his grip, steadied the steel spike with his hands. The foreman called out number one. The operator's hand started to twitch. The foreman called out number two. The nervous hand went towards the switch. The foreman dropped his hands on three, and the steam drill roared to life. But the very first hit they heard was steel on steel. John Henry had made first strike. Ah! Hammers of steel rang out. Huh. 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 Hiss, hiss, pop, 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 pop. The steam drill chugged and churned, and shovel after shovel after shovel of coal, that steam drill quickly burned. And John Henry was slamming that spike so hard and fast that it got red hot. Little Bill had to drop it, picked up another. John Henry kept up the fight. Give me a 20-pound hammer, give it to me quick. He tossed the 10-pound hammer away, and the sound of steel on steel echoed all through the mountains and the canyons that day. But swinging one hammer wasn't good enough. Give me a second one, the big man cried. He was swinging both hammers so fast that you could barely see it with the naked eye. They poured water on the steam drill to keep it cool as man and machine kept pace, drilling deeper and deeper until the stone cold rocket wasn't clear who was winning the race. But John kept going, swinging both hammers till everybody could see that where Big John Henry had dug 5 feet, the machine had only dug three. Ah! 6 foot, 8 foot, 10 foot, John was out drilling the drilling machine. When the steam drill reached the 8-foot mark, John Henry had reached 13. Pour water, pour water, shovel in more coal. We can't stop drilling now. But the machine couldn't keep up with Big John's pace. Seemed to be slowing down. Then all of a sudden, the steam drill started shaking, shuddered, and it came to a halt. The machine overheated, stopped dead coal, seemed to be falling apart. Yeah, woohoo! All the men cried. He did it. He beat that thing. The two holes he drilled totaled 14 feet. The machine couldn't manage 10. Well, John stopped swinging. And all of a sudden, a beam of light shone in his eyes. He had hammered his way through the last bit of rock and broken through to the other side. But when John stepped out into the light, drew in a slow, deep breath, his body gave out. He collapsed to the ground, just the way he'd predicted his death. Well, both man and machine were silent. The hammers no longer rang, but the rhythm of the strikes could be felt in the hearts of every member of John Steel Gang. Well, they carried him off the mountain and buried him in the sand. And people came from the east and the west to visit the grave of this man. And if you make your way to the Big Bend Tunnel, there's a statue on that spot. It's been vandalized, pulled off its stand, peppered with buckshot. But no buckshot will stop the stories and songs from being told throughout this land of Big John Henry, the steel-driving man who died with a hammer in his hands. Hammers of steel rang out. Oh. Hammers of steel rang out. Huh. Hammers of steel rang out. Huh. Hammers of steel rang out. John Henry, leader of the steel driving gang. Huh.
That was Charlotte Blake Alston with Hammers of Steel, the Ballad of John Henry. Do you know any ballads or songs that tell great stories? Is there a story from your own life that you think would make a great song? Have any stories been passed on to you by folks in your family or town that you might pass along to other folks? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on a show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Josh Goforth and Charlotte Blake Alston for sharing their ballads with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. Turn everyday moments into extraordinary nature adventures with the BYU Radio podcast, Constant Wonder Kids. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.